The word Advent, of course, means coming or arrival. And the season of Advent is a time of preparing for the coming of Jesus. But Advent actually involves a preparation for two comings. We prepare to celebrate the first coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and we prepare for his second coming at the end of time. So Advent is not simply about right now, but about looking back and looking forward. It is really about making present and making the present the meeting point of the past and the future. Unfortunately, most people don't think of this as the Advent season, but as the Christmas season. You know, the Christmas season doesn't start until December 25th, and then it goes on for 3 weeks. They don't so much look forward to Christmas as we look forward to Christmas, as they might want Christmas to be now and not have to wait until December 25th. And they don't look back much either, except to remember maybe the good times they've had in past Christmas seasons. But for us Christians, it must be different. As much as we do look forward to the coming of December 25th, 2019, we do so first by looking backward to December 25th in the year 1. And really, we look even further back than that. For example, today in the first reading, we see the prophet Isaiah looking back. We look back 500 years before Jesus was born to the prophet Isaiah. So we're going back now, not 2,000, but 2,500 years back. And then in the psalm, we look back 500 years even further. We look back to King David around the year 1,000. So we look back 3,000 years. But even as we look back, we also then look forward. Because these millennial-old prophecies we read in Isaiah and the Psalms are prophecies of the future, both their future and our future. So, 2,500 years ago, Isaiah begins, "In days to come, all shall say, 'Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, that he may instruct us in his ways.'" There he's talking about the future coming of the Messiah and the proclamation of the gospel to the whole world. So looking back at what Isaiah said, then we sort of turn around and look forward with him 500 years into Isaiah's future and 2,000 years into our past to the birth of Jesus. But Isaiah doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "He, the Christ, shall judge between the nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. One nation shall not raise the sword against another." Now, clearly, this part of his prophecy hasn't yet been fulfilled. Rather, he's talking about the same thing that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel when he talks about his second coming. And he says, "You also must be prepared, for in an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come." So we see how Isaiah's prophecy is part of our past and also part of our future. Now, have I completely confused you with all this past and future stuff? You might say, "Well, who cares about the past and the future? What about the present?" Now, it is true that we must live in the present. As St. Paul reminds us in today's second reading, "It is the hour now for you to wake from sleep." But we have to be careful. First of all, when we over-focus on the present, we can sort of cut ourselves off from the past. And if we do that, we lose sight of the lessons of history. We forget the wisdom and the important sacrifices made by so many who came before us, especially our parents. And we lose sight of our past sins. Some say that it's good to forget past sins, let go of those burdens, and there's some truth to that. But if we forget completely the evil we've done, then we'll also forget to repair the damage that we've done by that evil. And we'll also forget to avoid doing that evil again. And we'll forget to appreciate the profundity of the forgiveness that we've received from those past sins. And we'll forget the necessity to forgive others as we have been forgiven in the past. And if we forget the good things we've done in the past and the lessons that we learned, where would we be today? Not standing on the shoulders of giants and building on the strong foundations laid before us, but instead every day getting up and redigging foundations every day, trying to figure it all out by ourselves from scratch, throwing away all the treasures accumulated and hard won by our forebears, our ancestors, and even by ourselves, and focusing on only on the present can also lead us to lose sight of the future. Of course, you know, we can't just be thinking about the future, especially if we're constantly worrying about what might be coming next. But if we don't look forward to the future at all, it can lead us to lose sight of our potential. How good we can be in the future, if only we try with God's grace. We stop being concerned about improving ourselves and building a better world for our children, and we forget to teach them how to sacrifice today and what to believe in and value today so they can become the best God made them to be, even if it means making their life a little less fun and a lot more disciplined right now. We forget that the actions we do today have consequences tomorrow. And if our situation in the present isn't very good, if we don't look forward to the future, we'll lose all hope that things can get better in the future. In the end, an exaggerated focus on the present can lead many into a kind of a certain self-centeredness. We forget the importance of those who came before us and those who will come after us, and we become the center of the world, and our immediate happiness now is the priority. And the search for this happiness quickly turns into a quest for immediate gratification and immediate good feelings without concern for past lessons of right and wrong or future consequences. Worst of all, without an eye on the past and the future, we lose sight of Jesus. We don't look back at the prophecies and their fulfillment. We forget that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. We forget the profundity of his incarnation and birth and his life, death, and resurrection. And we forget his promise that if we believe in him and keep his commandments, he will give us a share in his life and love in this world, now and in the world to come. And we won't look forward to sharing in that life and love, to grow in holiness, to become the great men and women that he created us to be. And we'll lose grasp of the wondrous hope that even if everyone else in the world abandons us, Christ will never abandon us. He will always love us. Now, don't misunderstand me. Again, for Christians, the present now is critical. But it's only possible to understand and live well in the present by seeing it in the context of the past and the future as the meeting point, the nexus, the coming together of the past and future. As St. Paul says, it is the hour now. Now is the time to awake from sleep, to throw off the works of darkness, to put on the armor of light. Now is not the hour for self-gratification or isolation from past and future. Now is the time to take what we've learned in the past and begin to be the person that God gives us the potential to become, and to help those around us do the same. Now is the hour to listen to God's promises in the past, to remember how he's fulfilled so many of them in the past, and look forward to their completion in the future as Jesus comes in glory. Unfortunately, For too many today, Advent is a time of now alone, without past or future. It's all about immediate self-gratification. And if there is looking back at the past, it's more, for many, it becomes merely a sentimentality. For some, we see this in obvious ways. Think of some of the Christmas parties that you've been to in the past, so-called Christmas parties. Think about the shopping adventures you've had in the past, maybe this last Friday. And then think of St. Paul's words today in the second reading. They may strike a familiar note as he says, "Let us conduct ourselves not in orgies and drunkenness, promiscuity and lust, rivalry and jealousy, the desires of the flesh." For others, it comes out in less obvious ways. How many parents have given their children expensive gifts that they can't afford and that they know will only spoil their children? They're only thinking of the immediate gratification that they and their children will receive on Christmas morning, but ignoring the long-term future effects that indulging greed and selfishness will have in the years to come. But it doesn't have to be that way. If we spend this Advent as a time to remember the promises and miracles of the past and to open our hearts and minds to our hope and our future with Christ, this can be truly the best, happiest, and holiest Advent and Christmas we've ever had. And all that can begin right now at this Mass. At this Mass. Now, some tell me that Mass has little relevance to them. Some even say that it's boring. Unfortunately, what happens is with a lot of these folks is that they're looking at the Mass strictly as a present experience. So they look for it to be easy and for immediate gratification. And then that devolves into looking for entertainment or hoping to be made feel good right now by the priest or the music or the people around them. And so Mass has become about them and what they want right now. But the Mass is a perfect example of what I've been talking about this morning. The present as the meeting place of the past and the future. It all comes together here. Think of the two main parts of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Word, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. The Scriptures and the homily lead us to look back and then forward at the same time as we've done today. And then most sublimely, we enter into the mystery of the Eucharist, where God miraculously descends out from eternity, comes down in time, and makes the one perfect sacrifice of the cross 2,000 years ago really present now. And at the same time, makes the future heavenly banquet really present now, at the same moment, in the same action. Christ born 2,000 years ago, and Christ coming again at the end of time, present to us right now, and entering into us in Holy Communion. And suddenly, we are united now to the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Open your mind and heart today and in this Advent to this great mystery. Let this be the beginning of an Advent free of selfishness, a time of remembering and hoping in the promises Christ has already kept and will soon keep, a time of repenting past sins and becoming the holy men and women we truly long to be. A time to look back at the babe born in Bethlehem, and a time to look forward to his coming again in glory. A time for the wondrous past and the glorious future to come together in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.